It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us on this fantastic Saturday morning. And I say the word fantastic because it's Florida State, Miami, tonight, under the lights at Doak Campbell Stadium, but also because there's a whole bunch of other college football that's taking place today. Then we have the NFL on Sunday. Hopefully the Buccaneers can get back on track. So a full slate of the Pigskin coming at us this week, but obviously the primetime game is Florida State in Miami tonight at Doak Campbell Stadium under the lights. And it's always an exciting week when that happens. I'm Mark Lloyd. Let me welcome the rest of the crew to the show. Seminole Blue, how are you?
We are ready and on hurricane alert.
On hurricane alert. Turn to Seth, how are things going?
Going well, ready for this tropical storm to pass through.
Yes, ready for the tropical storm to pass through. I like it. Very, very nice. And also, folks, coming up later on, as always, we're going to talk some Florida State football in segment two. Segment three is our Mark Lloyd's Locker Room Report with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And segment four, we'll talk some NFL slash our entertainment segment. Also, our fitness tip and our water tip. We're going to try to squeeze it all in today's show, but The Walking Dead premieres and comes back this coming Sunday night, so that's very exciting. We're going to recap what happened in the Fear of the Walking Dead season finale. But let's not waste any more time, Stubble the Bill. Let's get started. Let's climb up on the soapbox, because that's usually what happens in this first segment. And, you know, we say it week in and week out. And I understand what people say, the polls don't matter this much right now. But what it does, it shows a clear indication of favoritism and just biasness. And it makes fans that truly love the sport sometimes get so frustrated. So frustrated. My first question to you, Somerville, I asked you this last week, I'm going to ask you again. How on earth does Ohio State stay at the top? They've now gone 3 weeks in a row of playing mediocre football at best. And the reason I say this is because what happened to Florida State last year, where they got dropped when they played mediocre football. And it's the same situation. High expectations. You need to go out there and dominate the team or we're going to drop you. Well, we didn't know that was the case until with Florida State last year. And they dropped. Ohio State maintains a strong hold on the first on being ranked number one. And I attribute it to one thing. I attribute it to Urban Meyer. It's not the Big Ten. It's Urban Meyer bringing that SEC, biasness that everybody's so nervous about. They don't want to upset Urban Meyer, whatever the case is. The bottom line is that they're still number one, and they're not losing any votes at all or points.
Yeah. It's an interesting situation when you see Michigan State do something similar, and they did drop. Ohio State.
Bingo.
You know, Ohio State's there. We have to, I guess pay homage to the Big 12 this year because they got left out and get TCU and Baylor up there when they play in the NDL or the No Defense League. And so here we are, Utah, probably a worthy candidate to look at because of what they've done. They are in the top five. I could understand that. Clemson, deservingly so, moves up. A big win over Notre Dame. You know, it could have gone
absolutely
either way. But let's just look. The biggest jump that I think warrants, two consideration. And you know who I'm talking about. Roll Tide and our own distant cousins in Hogtown, the Gators. The jump of a lifetime. I mean, you would think there are Superman shoes on these guys, the kind of slinky ones you can bounce with to get up that high. after just a few weeks ago, no one's talking about them.
No, I don't. 14 spots they jumped up in the AP. It's the second largest jump ever. And it's for beating a third-ranked team in the nation. Not the number one undefeated team. Not the number two team. They beat a third-ranked team at home and jumped up 14 spots so much they jump over undefeated Florida State, who just beat Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And remember, this was 2 weeks ago. So Florida has gotten credit for beating a below average Tennessee team that nobody – they give them credit like they beat a top-five team for them. Nobody talks about how they almost got beat by East Carolina the week before. And then they go out, and they did. They thumped Ole Miss. They beat them up and down the field. So they should have jumped up a significant amount. But
yeah.
14 spots. Wait. I mean, give me a break.
No,
and then Alabama. Alabama now, they jumped them up four or five spots for just crushing Georgia. Once again, we don't know how good Georgia was. But what that victory is saying is that, well, nobody looked back at, now, how good is actually Ole Miss that beat Alabama? Well, they're obviously not too good. Well, they beat Alabama at home then. So we could go just round and round, and it really, really is frustrating.
It reeks. I grew up on SEC ball, but the bias that we've seen, and I'm going to call it like I see it, just like you do, because it stinks. This is networks now instead of like the networks are to the coaches are to their poll what the coaches are to their poll. It's like we've got to have someone from this group we represent up there. So if it can't be Ole Miss, who you and I and even Terminus knew was overrated, and when they were sitting up there like they were, we all went through this before last year, did we not? And when they go on the road and play a team that has a defense, I'm not talking about an offense, but a defense,
right,
Ole Miss lays the egg, okay?
Correct.
Plain and simple, they did it last
Correct.
Year. So, you know, here we go, part two this year. So now we can't make our matriarch SEC, we can't build it on Ole Miss again. They failed us. Ole Miss is old past. Now we're going to jump.
Yeah.
The team that probably is worthy right now, an LSU team, they move up to 7. Alabama leaps up to 8. And Florida, who was nowhere to be found, I mean, nobody believed in Florida.
Yeah,
they just pulled out an eek win over Tennessee because the guy down there can't coach. So
that's for sure. Brooks Jones can't coach, and the field goal kicker missed a kick by 3 inches from 50 yards out. But Bill, you mentioned something, and I need to cut you off because I need to mention it because of what you said, because there's a segue to it. And that is, you said the networks. Well, if you want proof of that, how about ESPN? For the first time ever that I could ever recall, you know what they gave us? The AP top 11.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure they included Florida. Have you ever heard of a top 11?
No, I've heard of the Elite 11, which is a high school ranking for quarterbacks. But that's a different story.
But when it came to the AP, I've only heard of a
top 10 or the top 25.
Yeah, the top 5. It's the most they would do. And maybe a top 4 now because of the playoffs. But
you don't,
top 11?
Yeah, you don't add the extra plus 1. There's just never been a need to. You're either in the top 10, or you're in the top, now you're in the top, or who's in the 4, which isn't really right now material, or you're not, or are you ranked in the top 25, which used to be the top 20, or you're ranked in the top 25, you know. Back in the old days, throwback here, USA Today was the one to introduce a top 25, APs do just
That's
the top
right.
20. So back in, you know, and before that was a UPI. But right now, it's in the, you know, the top 10 are the ones that are really the Boilermakers, pardon the pun, Purdue, of what's going to happen in the Final Four, if you will. Those top 10 are the ones that merit the consideration. And one day when we get to an 18 playoff, this will all sort itself out, and we'll have the major five will automatically get their guy in, which can be debatable down the road, and then you'll have more room for
other
teams.
How funny is that, though?
What's that?
Bill, I mean, but how funny is that? When Florida State was ranked number 11 –
no mention.
Year, they never got ranked in
the NA. Not applicable. Not worthy.
Yeah.
W.
I mean, I just shook my head and I said, wow, I can't believe they just did that. And what they're doing now is almost like ESPN says, We really don't care. No. Go ahead, say whatever you want. We're going to do whatever we want. Before, last year or the year before, they got a little, especially last year, they got a little testy at times, like when Chris Fowler had to come out and defend them and everything and say, hey, blah, all this junk about the SEC bias. I would love to see how they defend that. Why would you give them a top 11 then? If it was any other team from any other conference, if it was any other conference, I should say, there would not be a top 11. There would be a top 10. And it's just, it really is.
It is just what I'm eating right now, Mark. I'm sitting here with a few crackers and cheesy. It really is. It's cheesy.
That is for sure.
It really is. You can't defend it.
All right, Senator Bill. We talked enough. We were frustrated over the polls, but and I hate when people say, "Well, the polls don't matter right now." You know what?
They matter.
I'm sure everything sorts itself out to a point, but yes, it does matter. Okay, but this coming week, not necessarily any giant games. I'm talking about outside of Tallahassee with Florida State and Miami, and it's a shame Miami lost against Cincinnati.
Yes,
that really does suck because. For Florida State, and we'll get into that game. I don't want to get off track. Number one, Ohio State takes on Maryland, and you know what? Bill, I firmly believe that Ohio State is Florida State from last year, right this second, because they've now everybody keeps on expecting them to do this, and this, and I think they're running into the same thing that Florida State did last year. Is that hey, we're winning. That's the main thing.
Yep.
No, we're playing every game close, but they're not getting penalized. That's the way. So. When they take on Maryland this week, once again, you could say, well, is this the week Ohio State comes out and blows somebody out like Maryland? And at this point, I can honestly say that no, I don't think it will. I think they are who they are right now.
Yeah, they. It's going to be interesting because Maryland is not it's really weird to watch this Maryland team. They have not done anything that they thought they would do under Coach Edsel and the it is just spiraled down. In fact, the rumor is he, you know, after the loss this week, he could be terminated. That's what the write-up is right now about Coach. So maybe Maryland comes out a little bit more, you know, inspired since they wanted to jump into the Big Ten and, you know, reap the benefit of that. They haven't done very well. So Ohio State, you're right. They are just plodding along. There's lots of talent there, supposedly. You know, three deep quarterback, which really hadn't worked out all that well for Coach like he thought it would. I think he's got the wrong guy at the helm. I think the other one should have been starting. And, but you know, that's what you do. And sometimes you go down a path and, you know, as a coach, you say, well, I made the right decision. I know what I know. And I'm smarter than you guys. And I see him every day at practice, but it hadn't translated to the field. So we're going to see. You know, one thing that's interesting to me is, The big points aren't coming as rapidly as they thought they would on offense. And, you know, they've got some game-breaking guys back there. They got, you know.
There's no doubt.
They got the punch.
They have all the talent. It's like the same thing with Florida State. It's time out. Nothing, it can't all be put together for some reason.
Correct.
Okay, here's another big game in the Big Ten, Seminole Bell. And this game is actually, it's interesting. It's Northwestern at number 13. Taking on 18th-ranked Michigan.
That is a good game.
It's just amazing.
That's a better game than Ohio State and Maryland.
Oh, easily. But it's just a remarkable job that Jim Harbaugh is doing.
It really is. You and also, you know, Northwestern has done very well. I mean, they've kind of been sitting there, you know, winning, and turning things around. The Northwestern pokes their head up every now and then in the Big Ten. We see this from time to time. They've had their moments when they've been, a top three or four team in that conference. And they're going to find out really how good they are this week because they play a well-coached team. This is what can happen when you get the mentality turned around. We saw this, like we talked about not long ago, in FSU's defensive return to prominence through getting the right coach to get the right message. You know, sometimes it's just the coach fits. And this is a guy that was adored by Michigan fans when he was a player there and number four. He had a good career in NFL. He's coached well every stop he's been at both levels. This is a great turnaround for Michigan football. Something they, boy, it's like you said before, you want certain teams to be good or to be in the relevant, and Michigan has to be relevant for college football to be right. You can't see them losing to the Appalachian States and these other things that happened to them in the past. It's good to have them back because they are such a tradition-rich school, and it's good to see Coach Harbaugh doing his thing and inspiring these guys to play above their heads. Because trust me, I don't think the cover was full at Michigan when he came there.
No, that's a good point, Mr. Bill. He's coached them up now, and now over the next couple of years, he'll get his recruits in. And we'll see Michigan hopefully return to glory in the Big Ten. Right, one more matchup, Simula Bill, I want to ask you about before we go to break. And I guess specifically a team. What has happened to Georgia Tech?
Wow.
Do you have any idea? I know you have a lot of connections, you know, and you talk to a lot of people out there. What is, and even if maybe with your own two eyes watching it, what has happened with this
reality.
Georgia Tech team?
Reality.
I can't just go with that. And here's why: is because reality was, I mean, they were playing strong last year. We talked about that last year. And then this year they get most of their offense back. They get their quarterback back. They get these running backs back and the fullback. But I mean, they're awful right now. Awful.
Sometimes it is a psyche of a team to play to certain levels. We've said before about our own guys and other guys, sometimes you play at the level of your competition. And also, to lose a heartbreaking game or a close game that you maybe thought you should win, or you know, that you got close, like the Notre Dame game. You know, they came back and, you know, boom. How many times have we seen our own guys have to swallow, pardon the pun, with this, what's coming up, a wide right, or you know, a kick that just set our season spinning a different direction, where we played, either you come back off that playing with a chip on your shoulder, like, I'm going to prove that we're better than that, we should have won that game, we deserve to be in the mention, we don't deserve to be out of the top 20 or top 25, or your psychological mentality, if you will, for a game starts like, well, maybe we're just not that good. Maybe what's happening to Georgia Tech is the wheels are a little bit off the cart right now, and they got to figure out, they got to get senior leadership and those juniors to figure out a way to put the cart back right and play the kind of ball they used to play in, because it's easy. Winning's a habit, losing's a habit. You know, you can get on the streak either
point.
Way.
Good point. So, absolutely. I hear you. All right, Simula Bill, we have to take a break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about Florida State, the 12th-ranked Seminoles, or 11th-ranked Seminoles, or who knows what ranked Seminoles after this week. Take on the Miami Hurricanes at Joe Campbell Stadium, 8 o'clock under the lights. We're going to talk some Florida State, Miami football, all that coming up next right here on Freedom 93 in the Mark Lloyd Show.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93. Thanks for hanging with us on this Saturday morning. We do appreciate it. We tell you that each and every week. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, coming up in just a little bit, the Mark Lloyd locker room report of the Buccaneers, because we are the home of the Bucs. But right now, it's all about, as similar to what Bill said to me earlier, it's all about the U, but in his case, it was the FSU part of it. It's the Miami Hurricanes coming to town, 3-1 on the season, taking on the 4-0 Florida State Seminoles, who are ranked 11th in the country. Florida State is favored by 9 points. Florida State coming off a victory over Wake Forest, 24-16. The Canes suffered the first loss of the season last Thursday, or two Thursdays ago, sorry, 34-23. So, similar bill. This game, it is Miami week. It is always exciting. It really is a shame that the Canes lost to Cincinnati, because it would have been nice if they were undefeated. But when I first look at this game, and we'll get into some of the X's and O's and the help over of certain players. But to me, it sounds silly, but it's a lose-lose situation for Florida State. It's like they have nothing to gain out of this other than a victory. Now, somebody say, well, that's a victory. But what I'm saying is that when it comes to the polls, when it comes to national respect, they get no credit. They'll get no credit for Miami. Miami has a loss against Cincinnati, and they will now say, if they win, big deal. You were supposed to win. And they're going to judge Florida State on how much they won by if they're lucky enough to beat the Canes. Basically, I think the nation throws out the rivalry aspect of this game and act like it's, no big deal. Miami lost last week. I just hope Florida State is up for the game, and they come out and they play you-know-what to the wall.
Yeah, they're going to really have to do that. We want to see this team play to its potential. It's not even close to what it should be at right yet.
Let me ask you, because you said that, Somerville, let me stop you. Would you say defensively, though, they have played to their ability? Other than that he can dunk last week against Wake Forest, where I know that was frustrating for Fisher, but up until this point, they've only given up 11.5 points per game, and that's a hell of an improvement from last year.
The defense is on track to reach, I would think, a little bit beyond what we thought it would be this year, which is really exciting, because those guys have worked hard, even through injuries that we thought would be impacting them. They've really risen to the occasion. They are doing what they have to keep us in ball games. The last week against Wake Forest, like you said, the dink and dunk stuff, okay. Mentality was just don't get beat deep. Don't let something crazy happen, especially after Dalvin was injured, which that was probably a big weight on the mind of the team. Is look, we don't have our
especially after especially Bill. After he just ran 94 yards right. for a touchdown, you think, oh, my God, he might go for 300 yards today.
Yo, I mean, would you have figured he wouldn't have if he'd have been in the game healthy? Of course. Just a little read between the blinds. We're peeking through the blinds here. But he was at practice the last couple of days. He was suited up, which is good to hear. And they're not really talking too much about it, but, I mean – Coach Fisher always said, day to day, but so far, the good news is as of Thursday, he was in pads with the team. So that's good to hear. How much goes from there, we'll see. One thing on offense I want to see, if Dalvin is limited, is I want to see them not only bring in number three but number four. I want to see Jacques.
Dalvin coach number four.
No. What I meant by number four was the fourth stringer.
Sorry. Okay.
We've gone through one. And we know one's not. One's got the hammy. Two's got no wind
the
right
lung.
Now because of lung. Now we've got number three and number four. So we're into, what I'm saying is I'd like to see the big boy get in there if Dalvin is limited, and that's going to be a game. Game time decision. We don't know what's going to happen because. Coach will do whatever he has to do to win that game. And I got to believe that when we saw, you're right, number nine walk on the field this against Wake, he didn't get much action. He was supposed to get a screen, and they muffed that up. But there's a reason, you know, that kid right there could be another scoreboard changer the way we saw him come out in the spring game. And that's the one I'm kind of focused on. If you ask me right now what I'm looking for, I want to see who's going to pick up the ground game if Dalvin is not going to be able to go at 100% this week, today.
What do you want to see, and what do you expect? Well, and I ask you this every week, but what does Everett Golson have to do in this football game for Florida State to come out with a victory?
He's going to have to do something that probably people think he's comfortable doing but hadn't shown that he's comfortable doing, and every now and then just take off and run right up the middle, straight up the middle of the field, because, you know, he had opportunities, and he's very hesitant sometimes to take off.
Yeah.
And he's about, like we talked about, he's just a split second. He's getting closer. You know, the decision-making's coming, but he's a split second behind sometimes in seeing or reading what he needs to. And that's just unfamiliarity. That's not enough reps. Again, we're going to keep reminding folks, he hasn't been in the system long enough. Jameis had a whole redshirt year to sit and watch with the pencil, the clipboard, practice for a whole year, go to all the games, listen in on the headphones. That's a lot of time, man, when you're talking about being a quarterback of a high-geared offense. And I'm sorry, you know, he was in Notre Dame, but regardless, Notre Dame's offense is different than our offense. And the proof's in the pudding.
So you want to see him run some?
I want to see him take off and run. I want to see him get rid of the ball a little bit quicker, when, you know, in rhythm and timing. You know, trust his instincts on his second and third reads, because I think sometimes he doesn't. I think he's too worried about what's going on. But more than anything, when he takes off the run, he don't need to shovel the ball ahead 2 yards to the guy, to Pierre-Rouse, just somebody in front of him. He just needs to take off and go, because he's got a lane.
You know, I like what you said, Stumbleville. What Everett needs to do a little bit more is not worry about throwing that first interception.
Correct.
Just trust your ability. Look in the mirror and realize, listen, I was the quarterback at Notre Dame. I'm now the quarterback at Florida State. Hey, trust me, it's okay. I don't want to, but it's okay if I throw an interception, because in the grand scheme of things, hopefully that mentality, I'm going to make 10 plays to that one interception, 10 big plays. And I think you're right. I think he needs to trust himself and not worry about everybody. And that even comes down to the fact of tuck it and run. Just run.
Take off.
What it takes sometimes.
You and I both saw it. Like, we were probably both yelling at the TV, go, run, 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 you know, take off. I mean, you got to hear in your head as a QB. When the whistle goes off and you've got down through 1, 2, and 3 and they're not there, just go. I mean, there's a lane up there, and good grief. I don't think he gives himself enough credit. He probably doesn't realize. Maybe he does. He should. He runs quite well when he wants to. He really does. He's a shifty little QB. He's not Jameis running crazy awkwardly. God bless him. Jameis finds his yardage. But this kid could be a weapon if he just plant the foot and take it up the field. You know, don't worry about if you get 5, great. But you're making those linebackers think about you when you do it. When you roll out and swing out and you just hang in the pocket, and everybody's covered, the linebackers don't have to come get you, because eventually the pocket's going to collapse. You're going to run yourself out of bounds or something. Right now, just every now and then, drop back. I don't care, first, second, whatever down it is, and just take it up the field a couple times so those linebackers have to stay home and respect you.
Yes. And you know, it'll be interesting to see this offense now of Miami go up against Florida State's defense.
Yes.
Florida State, Nate Andrews seems like he's going to be able to play. I'm shocked that Terrence Smith, he's not going to play, correct? That's what you're saying?
That's what we've been hearing, but don't count anything out right now. I mean, right, it's gamesmanship right now. You know, you're not gonna flip all the cards over when one of your big rivals is coming up here and give them that info. If anybody can make it on that field, this is one of those two ball games you want to play in, because these guys, know each other. They grew up with each other. Most of them. We got a lot of guys from Miami on
the team.
A lot of
players on the same team.
So, I mean, look at the running backs, Dalvin and Miami's counterpart.
Dalvin and Yubin.
They both. They played for Miami Central. I mean, they are brother related that way. There's a lot of branches on the same tree from these guys, and a lot of respect, believe it or not, between these two teams, more so than when you see FSU play at Florida or Miami play Florida. The old saying is, at least we didn't drop you from the schedule, and they have a respect for each other because some of these games have been so important to the national scene of college football for so many years, and I'd love to see it get back to being relevant again. You know, not to say I want to see us lose, but I want to see better football games between these two teams because, again, it's good for football.
I hope you don't want to see us lose.
Oh, no.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. 3-1 Hurricanes taking on the 4-0 Seminoles. What happens in the game, and what's the score?
It's going to be predicated upon who we see suiting up, but my instincts, my gut is telling me that we walk out with at least a 10-point win. I'm not so sure of the score right now, but that could be, again, predicated on who is up, who is playing. But
let me ask you this. Is it a low-scoring game, do you think, regardless of who's playing, because of Florida State's defense and their offense not being exactly potent?
I don't think Ty is going to be 25. Able to stand. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking in our end, we're probably in the mid to high 20s, and maybe 28 or something to, I don't know, 10. I mean, 28-10, 28-13, okay. Something in that range. You got a good quarterback coming in here. They're going to have to respect Kaya, but he also respects the defensive backs that we have. That matchup's going to be tough for him. They've got a few playmakers, and it's just going to depend.
That's a playmaker,
right?
Defensive back.
The matchups work well on both for us. I just think we have a better situation matching up with them than they do with us, and we're just going to have to see if that front for FSU can control the line of scrimmage, and then they don't get a bunch of rushing yards. They're not going to. I just don't see them beating us, throwing touchdowns over the top. I just don't see that happening.
All right. When we come back, Seminole Bill. It's Mark Ward's Locker Room Report. So we're going to talk some Tampa Bay Buccaneer football. And, boy, I hope things get better in Tampa right now. But we'll talk about it. All that coming up next right here on Freedom 93 FM, Tallahassee. Stay with us.
This is Bill Bassett.
And Eric Sweeney.
With Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Okay, Buccaneer fans, it's time to travel to Mark Lloyd's locker for the Bucs Report, right here on Freedom 93 FM.
Thank you very much, Seminole Bill. Well, it's not a very happy locker room right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are off to a rough start, I guess you could say, on this season. 1-3 on the season suffered a bad loss last week to the Carolina Panthers. I don't think there's any other way of putting it. Jameis Winston had a really, really bad day against the Carolina Panthers. But once again, though, folks, it's not all his fault. Yes, he threw the four interceptions in the football game, and trust me, we're not taking that lightly. But at the same time, the whole Buccaneer team is struggling mightily. No team in the NFL should struggle the way the Bucs do on special teams when it comes to kicking field goals and extra points. Somerville, it's downright embarrassing when you can't kick field goals at the NFL level. And that's exactly what's going on with the Bucs. I know they cut the kicker and they're bringing somebody else in, but what that does for a Buccaneer team that is shaky on confidence already as a whole, and a rookie quarterback, when you drive down there, you have momentum, Tampa Bay scores, they get the ball back again, they drive down there before half, they kick a field goal to come within striking distance of the Panthers, and when the guy shanks a 29-yard, the morale of the team just goes right down the toilet.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you missed one, and now you missed another.
Yeah, it's abysmal in that regard. That just is a momentum killer. You have to get points when you're in the red zone. You have to get points when you're near the red zone. Kickers know that their role in the NFL is, get the ball through the uprights, and it's just not happening. And you can say, Jameis has, eight turnovers, so far this year, a couple of return touchdowns, seven INTs, fumble. You can throw all that out there. He's a rookie quarterback. You're expecting that to happen to some extent. But when you don't make those three-pointers, you force pressure back on your quarterback because he's now struggling to try and make up for what you missed. And that's just the bottom line. You get someone in position to score. If you can't get it in the end zone on a pass or a run, then you have to get your 3 points so you can at least keep the game reasonably close. And that's what they were trying to do. They were moving the football. When you put it back on your QB and you're missing things, now the coach has to expect more of the quarterback. And at this level right now, Jameis is not at the point yet where he can just put everybody on his back and carry him down the field. It's just not going to happen. This is the NFL.
And on top of that, too, man, the wide receivers, Vincent Jackson.
Dropping the ball.
You can't be dropping the ball from the guy. You just can't. And you drop some key first downs, Lewis Murphy. You can't do that for him right now because he's going to make mistakes because he's a rookie quarterback, the most difficult position. So when he does make a good throw, good Lord, you can't drop the ball.
Drive killers, man. They're DKs or drive killers. You can't do that.
Yes.
And they're confidence killers because even though Jameis has a very short-term memory, I don't care what you say, everyone knows when you're trying to do your best and hard and working so hard to get to that level where everything clicks, when those things aren't working, when you can't throw a 15 or 20-yard pass without it being dropped, that's discouraging. I don't care who you are, Just is.
So now the Bucs and Seminole-Bill, 1-3 in the season. They can't win at home, but they're at home again. This week they welcome the Jacksonville Jaguars to town, who are 2-2 on the season. Speaking of the UCF quarterback against the Florida State quarterback, Blake Bortles against Jameis Winston. So it's a really cool game. And I can only imagine how big this game would be if the Bucs were 3-1 and the Jags were, 3-1 on the season. I mean, it would be a really interesting game. I'm sorry, the Jags are 1-3 on the season.
Yeah, they're 1-3.
Not 2-2. 1-3 and 1-3. What? I guess let me just be generic. What do you expect out of this game? Do the Bucs stop T.J. Yeldon? Does Winston bounce back and throw an interception and throw a couple touchdowns? Do the receivers finally stop dropping the ball? Does Blake Bortles start picking up some steam the way he had it last year towards the end of the year? We said, wow. Both Winston and him have thrown for about the same amount of yards. Both have thrown for 6 touchdowns on the season. The difference is Bortles has thrown 3 picks and Winston has thrown 7. So what are you expecting out of this game, Somerville?
Improvement. improvement. You know, that's what we got to have.
I like that. Very good.
You got to see that there's light in the tunnel. And look, you're playing, it's an in-state game, you know, fans mixed, all kind of stuff. And this is your chance to go out there, if you're Jameis, and just say, okay, let's hit the restart button and let's pick it up from here and see if we can make things go better from what I've learned. Now, I've done what I've done here. Now it's time to go out there and just let it go and let's play. And hopefully these receivers do what they're supposed to. They lock down and get the balls, and the defense on the other side of Tampa Bay shuts down Yeldon in the running game. If they can do that, they can win the ball game. That simple.
And they need one at home. There is no doubt about that. They just cannot. That's it. Stumble, you're right. You just got to break it, and that's the attitude that you have to have. Okay. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk some NFL football. I always get some of the Bills' thoughts, some of the big matchups that will take place over the weekend. Plus, we have our entertainment segment, our water check-in, our fitness tip, all that comes right here. And I'm on Floyd Sean, Freedom 93 FM. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
The Mark Lloyd Show, right here on Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. Each and every week from 8 to 9. Someone Bill reminded me, we're so jammed with our show. We have so much information that we want to talk about and get to that we don't get to probably, we probably only get to 25% of everything we want to talk about. So the last couple of weeks, we forgot about our water check and also our fitness tip. We didn't forget about it. We just couldn't squeeze it in. But this week, we are. So real quick, guys, we have to do like the minute drill on everything. Our water check, folks, for those of you who don't know, is everybody should drink a gallon of water a day. And so we kind of gauge and have a little fun with it. We do a water check, see who's drank the most ounces of water. I am at 127 ounces already in a 24-hour period. Some little Bill?
126. Darn it.
Ooh, let's hope I'm the nose and you're the Canes. Let's hope I'm the nose and you're the Canes, brother. Well, let's hope I eked out the victory. Tell me this, Eric. Tell me your Ole Miss.
maybe. I don't know. I haven't really been, because we haven't been doing it. I've been slacking.
Oh, good grief.
You know what, though? You know, let me tell you something, though. Some of the Bill and Terminus. That's what we love about Terminus, folks, is that he's honest. He's like, listen. We haven't been doing it, so I just wiped it off my board. So I don't know how many ounces. But if you had to take a guess, Terminus, how many?
Like 75 to 80.
Okay. Hey.
Close to 100.
That's right. And so that leads us to the fitness tip, Seminole Bill. And I mentioned this one a while back. And I think, but it holds true to what Terminus did just then with the water thing, is that even out of sight, out of mind, it's all about consistency.
Yes.
You don't always have to hit your mark. But you have to do it every day. So no, Tremulous has been hovering around 112, 115 ounces of water in a day, which is fantastic. And today, though, he ended up with 75 ounces. But the most important thing is that he's consistent. He's still drinking the water. Back in the day, he used to take in like 6 ounces of water.
Yeah, well, he's worried about dehydrated.
He would do 6 ounces, then he'd do 100 ounces, then 15 ounces. But now it's all about consistency, and that's what it takes to do when it comes to working out. Be consistent. Do some kind of activity for at least 30 minutes to 60 minutes every single day. Let's move on now, Seminoleville. A lot of huge NFL games this coming weekend. NFL is really banged up right now with all kinds of injuries. But here's an intriguing game, Seminoleville. The Seattle Seahawks travel, who are 2-2, 0-2 away from the 12th man, travel to Cincinnati to take on the 4-0 Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are favored over the Seahawks by 3. Who wins this game?
You know what? The Bengals are really... Wow, up their game. You know, they're kind of like Termas with the water. And the Seahawks, for some reason, they do have trouble on the road right now. So, you know, that's normal. You take the home team. Let's stay with old Cincinnati this week. We're going to, you know, go against a normal guy and pick, with, you know, our favorite over there in Seattle. But, hey, proof's in the pudding. Like we said earlier, Cincinnati is looking the real deal this year.
Yeah, they really are. They're undefeated. So, I hear you. All right. Here's another game. That is interesting, and that's the 2-2 Rams travel to Lambeau Field to take on the 4-0 Packers. And the reason I say the Rams are interesting is because they always play solid defense. But now Todd Gurley is playing, and he was the real deal, at least last week. So the reason – do you give the Rams any kind of a chance now because of Gurley where – now hear me out – where if the Rams are running the football, that keeps you-know-who Mr. Rodgers off the field, which gives the Rams a better chance to win. But are they able to pull it off at Lambeau Field? The Packers are favored by 10 points.
This is interesting. Really, really is, because, like you said, you know, Green Bay is Green Bay, and Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is a tough place to win a ball game. But Gurley does not run like a girl. He is an all-beast mode, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I think this is a close game. I'm still going to go with the Packers, but I think it's a lot closer than everyone's out there.
Than the experts.
Yeah, than the pundits. Yes, I think it's like within a field goal.
Okay. All right, very good. Okay, two more games, Seminoleville. The 4-0 Broncos travel to the 2-2 Raiders. And now, Seminoleville, the Raiders are playing like the team that we kind of had expectations for. We thought they would be a heck of a lot better than they always have. And they are. They're playing good football. Other than that opening blowout loss, they've been solid. You know, they're playing well. They're at home. Do they stop the Broncos?
This is going to be another fun game to watch. This is an old NFL rivalry, and you want to see two good teams. I think the Raiders win the ball game. I just, again, they're at home. They're in their comfort zone. The fans are back in it, and they're getting results. The little rookie's running around making the plays that he's supposed to be making.
Yeah, I'm already hooping.
He's doing his thing, you know. So I say that Peyton is Peyton, but the Raiders seem to be back. So props to the Raiders.
So the Raiders pass the victory? Okay. All right, sir. Okay. All right, now let's go one right after your heart. Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Your Pittsburgh Steelers travel to take on the San Diego Chargers. Of course, once again, Big Ben is not starting. Do you guys have any chance of knocking off, as always, an up and down San Diego Charger football team?
Boy, you know, after the last game, I did. You can't give games away in the NFL. I think Michael rounds them up. I think Rivers, you know, does what he normally does. He's steady Eddie out there, and I think it's a toss up to me. This game right here is a toss-up. I go with my heart and say the Steelers, but I'd be lying if I didn't think the San Diego Chargers, without, you know, Ben on the other side, could put them away. I think the Chargers – I hope I'm wrong here, but I think the Chargers win by two.
The Chargers, very good. I like that. The Chargers win by two. It's going to be a heck of an NFL weekend. All right, guys. Entertainment segment last week. We only have a few minutes left. We closed out Fear the Walking Dead with the season finale. One of the main characters, at least a reoccurring character, did die. It was the son, Nick, and the dad, Travis, his ex-wife, Nick's mom. the one that was Eliza. Playing like nurse around everything, Eliza, very good. She got bit or scratched or something, and they ended her life. Travis shot her in the head, and so now she's off the show. They gave us all kinds of hints about what's going on. They're back at the Strand guy's house. There's a boat named Abigail out in the ocean. It sounds like that when the season starts next year, they're all going to go on this boat. And where they're going to go, I have no idea. How much of the next season is going to take place on this boat? Are they going to go back on land? And I just find it would be really difficult with the whole boat situation because it's so small. Like, there's nowhere to go.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't do too many scenes on a boat that's that small. It's not a cruise ship. So, but were you guys shocked? Be happy the way it ended?
Terminus?
I was happy with it. Didn't expect it to happen, but I figured something had to happen. I mean, it's The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a good show. I mean, it had you watching every turn and turn. I mean, you know, there were so many variables that when they started the end scenes, if you will, where they could have gotten someone killed, you know, right there at the where they were holding everybody, there was a lot of. I didn't see Liza being offed that way, but you know,
me neither. I liked it too. They do their thing.
They know how to make the show interesting because you know what we've seen in the past with even The Walking Dead. They're not afraid to get rid of characters if they think it helps, you know, keep people watching.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Okay, but the big news is now that you know it, we love it. It's back. The Walking Dead it comes back now Sunday night at 9:00, followed by The Talking Dead at 10:00, if I am correct. So it's very exciting. What can we expect, Terminus Eric? What are you thinking? What should we expect out of The Walking Dead this coming Sunday night, based on maybe some of the previews that you've seen?
I've tried my best to stay away from watching the previews and reading anything. I've been avoiding it. I heard a rumor that they were going to kill off like four main characters, like from the get-go, and I don't know. I've just been not trying to spoil it. I've been really excited. I've been looking forward to it.
Wow.
All year,
okay.
So I haven't tried to.
Well, that would be interesting.
Spoil it for myself.
Yep. You know, that's a good way of doing it too. Is that you just don't look at it. But I am intrigued because a lot of the previews you're trying to figure things out of, you know, what's going on here, what's going to happen there with burning bodies flying over the wall. Is Alexandria taking over? So it's very exciting. I can't wait for Rick and the gang to be back on the big screen, but the small screen every Sunday night for us. And us talking about it the following Saturday in our entertainment segment. So it's going to be a great football weekend. Good luck to the Noles tonight. Have fun at the game. My brother will be there. So be safe. Cheer on the Seminoles, and hopefully Florida State comes out with a victory. So for Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, I'm Mark Lloyd. Go Noles. We'll talk to you next week.